40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to Roger Federer and Elena Vesnina, who won the men's and women's tennis titles at the BNP Paribas Open in Indian Wells, California. Ladies first, in an all-Russian final, Vesnina needed three sets and more than 3 hours in a scorching California desert sun to defeat Svetlana Kuznetsova. The final score from Indian Wells, 6-7, 7-5, and 6-4. It was Vesnina's third Women's Tennis Association singles title and the biggest of her career so far. Talk to us, Elena!
The most important for me is title, you know, wins, big wins in front of the crowd, like here in Indian Wells. This is the most important thing, my game, you know. And if I will have this kind of consistency through the whole tournament, through the whole year, I think I will be in top 10 at the end of the year.
With her title at Indian Wells, Elena Vesnina moves up to a career-high number 13 in the women's world rankings. And while the women's final was all Russian, the men's final was all Swiss. Roger Federer defeated Stan Wawrinka 6-4 and 7-5 to win a record-tying fifth BNP Paribas Open trophy. It was also Federer's 90th career title. After missing most of last year with injuries, the 35-year-old Federer has now won the two biggest titles so far in 2017, the Australian Open and Indian Wells. Roger, are you surprised with your performance in Southern California?
Maybe not as surprised as I was in Australia, but still, this comes as a big, big surprise to me, nevertheless, to win here again and beating the players that I did. The way I did, I mean, couldn't be more happy. It's an absolute huge start to the year for me. And yeah, last year I didn't win any titles. I don't even think I was in any finals, except maybe Brisbane last year. So the change is dramatic and feels great.
Feeling great after his title at Indian Wells, Roger Federer will travel to Florida now for this week's Miami Open as he rethinks his goals for 2017.
It's great, but you definitely have to reassess maybe your goals now and see where do you go from here, because this was not part of the plan to win Australia and Indian Wells, I can tell you that. So I think now it's really important for me to rest up maximum. I hope I can play as late as possible going to Miami. And then really, like I said before, I'll make the plan for the remainder of the season after, especially for the clay after Miami, and then see also what the goals are, because the goals are clearly changing after this dream start.
With a dream start to 2017, Roger Federer also took time to reflect on the emotion shown on the court Sunday by his friend and fellow Swiss, Stan Wawrinka.
Sports is emotional, so when you win or when you lose, sometimes it's stronger than you. I like to see it. I think fans like to see it too. Seeing that players actually care a lot about winning and losing. So, yet at the same time, I think Stan can be very proud of his efforts here and the start to the year and tournament that he played here was great for him. He's always struggled in the past in the desert.
That's Roger Federer, who won the men's title at the BNP Paribas Open, played in the Southern California desert community of Indian Wells. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life.
Hello, I'm your host Shaka Sully. Every Wednesday night, the Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss Africa land reform. The World Bank says that Africa needs to change its systems for buying and selling land. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
The U.S. Men's College Basketball Championship Tournament, one of the most popular sporting events here in the United States, has reached its Sweet 16 stage. The single elimination National Collegiate Athletic Association event always has a few upsets, and this year is no exception. In one of the upsets Sunday, seventh-seeded South Carolina knocked out number 2 seed Duke University of North Carolina, one of the powerhouses in U.S. men's college basketball. The final score, 88-81. It marks the first time South Carolina has reached the Sweet 16 stage. The Gamecocks of South Carolina will next play the Bears of Baylor. Baylor beat the University of Southern California 82-78. In another upset from the weekend, Wisconsin eliminated defending national champion Villanova 65-62. The Badgers of Wisconsin move on to play the Gators of the University of Florida on Friday night. The Gators, by the way, are the last team to win back-to-back national titles in U.S. men's college basketball, doing so in 2006 and 2007. Three top-seeded teams, Gonzaga, Kansas, and North Carolina, are still alive in the tournament. Gonzaga will go against West Virginia in its next game. Kansas is matched against Purdue, and North Carolina will play Butler. In the three other Sweet 16 matchups, Xavier will face Arizona, Oregon will meet Michigan, and in one of the marquee matchups, UCLA will take on Kentucky. UCLA and Kentucky have the proudest pedigrees of all the teams left in the competition. UCLA has a record 11 national titles, the most of any men's team, while Kentucky is next with 8 national championships. And let's not forget the ladies either. The women are also holding their national championship basketball tournament this week. The Lady Huskies from the University of Connecticut are bidding for their 5th consecutive national title and 12th overall. The Connecticut women will play Syracuse University later Monday night in a round of 32 game. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale. And Samson kicks off with African club football.
We begin with the results of the second round of 32 matches played across the continent in the CAF Champions League, where 16 teams have qualified for the group stages of this year's CAF Champions League. Five-time African champions TP Mazembe failed to reach the Champions League group stages on Sunday after a frustrating goalless draw with CAPS United of Zimbabwe in Harare to exit the continental competition on the away goal rule after a 1-1 draw on aggregate. Tunisia and and Egypt remain the only nations with two representatives moving to the next round. In Kinshasa, Equatorial Guinean controversial midfielder Francisco Obama Ondo scored his third goal in CAF Champions League as AS Vita of DR Congo trounced Gambian Ports Authority 2-0 at the Stade de Moteurs in Kinshasa to book a place in the group stages of the competition. In other matches played across the continent, Zambian side Zanaco drew 0-0 with Young Africans of Tanzania in Lusaka. Zanaco progressed to the next round on away goals after drawing 1-1 in Dar es Salaam a week ago. In Addis Ababa, St. George of Ethiopia booked their place in the group stage after beating visiting AC Leopards from Congo 2-0, winning 3-0 on aggregate. In Kampala, defending champions Mamelodi Sundowns came from behind to draw 1-1 with KCCA FC in Uganda and advanced 3-2 on aggregate to send the defending champions into the next round. Elsewhere, Wydad Casablanca of Morocco booked a spot in the group stage, edging Gabonese outfit Mouna of Gabon 5-4 on penalties after losing 1-0 in Libreville. Another North African side, Al Ahly of Tripoli of Libya, were defeated 3-1 by FCUS Rabat, but made it to the next stage on a away goal. Brahim El Bahiri hit a brace to give FCUS a 2-goal advantage before Mouaded Ali halved the scoring 3 minutes into the second half for the Tunisians. In Ouagadougou, Algerian side USM Alger of Algeria secured the group slot despite suffering a 1-0 defeat by Real Kadiogo in Burkina Faso. And Madagascar giant CNAP Sports were eliminated by Cotton Sports of Cameroon after they were held 1-1 at home. In volleyball news, Al Ahly started their journey in the African Club Championship in Tunisia with a straight set win over Cameroon's Bafia, 3-0. Al Ahly will meet Esperance later today, and the last match against Al Ahly Benghazi will be played on Tuesday. And in preparations for the June World Championships, about 300 athletes are in Dakar, the capital of Senegal, for the 2017 International Taekwondo Competition. According to the organizers, the main purpose of this event, which will have athletes and officials from 20 countries across four continents, is to strengthen the status of Senegalese and African taekwondo and its capacity to host an international competition. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Boxing news now on the Voice of America. World middleweight champion Gennady Triple G Golovkin successfully defended his titles over the weekend, but he had a tougher time than expected with American Danny Jacobs. Jacobs went the distance with Triple G, who scored a 12-round unanimous decision victory. Let's take a look at the judges' scorecards from Madison Square Garden in New York City. Two had Triple G winning 115 to 112, and the third had Golovkin in front by only 1 point, 114 to 113. Yes, it was a much tighter fight than many expected, including yours truly, who thought Triple G would win by knockout within 6 rounds. In fact, it's the first time Triple G was forced to go the distance since 2008. Golovkin knocked Jacobs down in the fourth round with a jab-right-right combination And that might have been the decisive blow, at least in terms of the scoring. However, FightNews.com, which I think is one of the best boxing websites out there, had Danny Jacobs the winner by a score of 114 to 113. For his part, Danny Jacobs said on Twitter, and I quote, "I respect Triple G, but I clearly won the fight, and the fans support me on that." We'll get Namdi Moueta's take on the fight later this week, and whether he thinks there might be a Golovkin-Jacobs rematch. Triple G retained his WBC, WBA, and IBF middleweight titles with that victory at Madison Square Garden, and he improved his record to 37 wins without a loss with 34 knockouts. Danny Jacobs now has a professional record of 32 victories and 2 defeats with 20 knockouts. If you would like to leave a voicemail for possible use on a future Sunny Side of Sports broadcast, please call 1-202-205-9942. Once again, that number, 1-202-205-9942.
VOA!
When you hear the VOA identification, press 60, and please include your name and where you are calling from.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Magnus Chisholm calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I love listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a daily delight of listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Once again, Magnus Chisholm on with you calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I'm wishing all the Sunny Side of Sports listeners all the best. Bye.
Because this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
I'm very excited. Because
this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
I also encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty Monday greetings. Sonny, good to be here with you.
Swiss tennis star Roger Federer continues to impress in 2017.
Absolutely. Playing arguably the best tennis of his career is what some people are saying
on
social media.
Wow.
Looking as fresh as ever at the age of 35, going on to win there in Indian Wells. When we last spoke about this on Friday, we were eagerly anticipating that Roger Federer-Nick Kyrgios matchup in the quarterfinals, talking about how they were both wearing green throughout the tournament. Well, not too long after we got off the air, we got some unfortunate news about Nick Kyrgios. He wouldn't be donning the green in the match. Maybe his complexion was a little green because he had a bad case of food poisoning. So he released on social media Friday saying that he was not going to be able to play that match against Roger Federer. And then Federer, of course, goes on to go into the semifinals and then wins the whole tournament. But Kyrgios, a lot of concern about him that he couldn't play that match, a lot of disappointment from fans. Federer, to his credit, went out on the court and talked to them during what would have been the match time. But a lot of concern on social media for Kyrgios. It was an eagerly anticipated match, wondering what was wrong with him. Some social media sleuths, however, found a video from one of the previous matches where Kyrgios, on one of the changeovers, goes and talks to a guy who's sitting courtside and grabs a handful of looks like French fries that he's eating and stuffs them in his mouth. And the Twitter account We Are Tennis, they just tweeted out the video of this, and they just had in all caps, "Never eat crisps during a match. Never eat crisps during a match." So they seem to think that there was the French fries or the potato chips that he ate there and stole from a fan that made him sick. But so unfortunate news for Nick Kyrgios, but very fortunate news for Roger Federer. 35 years and 7 months to be exact. Now the oldest player to win a Masters 1000 title. And you know, Federer is as in shock as his fans are, or as pleased as his fans are, so too is Federer. He says, "What can I say? This has been a fairy tale week once again. I'm still on the comeback." So he still thinks he can play his best tennis yet, which is going to be exciting. And he's having a lot of fun with it. We saw on social media, he put out a picture of him kissing the trophy as confetti rains down around him. And he just puts two emojis with that, a kissy face and a trophy. So he's having some fun with it.
I'm sure he must have been, I won't say happy, but he had fresh legs because of that walkover against Kyrgios.
Yeah, he said when he went on the court to talk to the fans, he said he was disappointed and it was sad that Nick was sick. But he said it was nice for him to get an extra day of rest for sure, especially at his age.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Of course, the other big sports story of the weekend is March Madness here in the U.S. When we talked about this on Friday, we said that there weren't too many upsets that had happened in the tournament in the first round. And then we get to the second round, and you, as you mentioned, the overall number one seed Villanova, of course, last year's champion. Many people thought they were going to repeat. They're out in the second round to number eight seed Wisconsin, and Duke, the number two seed, who's been playing amazingly well. They won the ACC tournament prior to the NCAA tournament. They go down to number seven South Carolina. So I think my favorite gif that exemplified this was from the TV show SpongeBob SquarePants, and it's SpongeBob, and he's shredding all these papers, and on the papers, it's just brackets, and it's a box that says brackets. He's pulling the papers out and just shredding them, and I think that was what happened to a lot of people. A lot of people picked Villanova to win. A lot of people picked Duke to win because these two teams were hot, but it shows anything can happen in March.
Well, I know last week you told our VOA listeners how many people still had correct brackets. Any idea what that number is now, Andrew?
Zero. It is ESPN reported that after Middle Tennessee State lost to Butler, I believe, there were about 12 people that had picked Middle Tennessee State for the upset. Butler won, and that put an end to all that. So,
wow.
No perfect brackets. It's you know, as we said, I think it's 9.2 quintillion, quadrillion, some astronomical number, the odds that you could ever select a perfect bracket. And that certainly was on display with this year's bracket. But for every loser and every unfortunate incident, there's a winner. And for the University of South Carolina, they are just reveling in this. And they're showing off on their social media. They put out a video from campus with hundreds, if not thousands, of students gathered around singing along to Sweet Caroline, the great Neil Diamond song that's used a lot in sports games. And then I love this. They retweeted USA Today. USA Today, after Villanova's loss, they tweeted out and said, "After Villanova's loss, Duke's path to the Final Four looks ridiculously clear." Of course, Duke hadn't played yet, and Duke lost to South Carolina. So South Carolina's school Twitter feed retweeted that, and they just wrote, "Oops." So they're having a lot of fun with this. They also sent out a link to a website called digdukewin.com. And they said that's a very important website to go check out. And you click on it, it's a big no that comes up. It says Duke did not win. So a lot of fun that they're having in the wake of their big tournament win.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, in addition to South Carolina having a lot of fun with this, the internet's having a lot of fun at Duke's expense. Duke is a team that is known or is seen as being very privileged, kind of rich, privileged students. So people don't like Duke very much. And so you have a lot of people hating on Duke on the internet. And to that end, we have a meme. Luke Kennard, who's a Duke guard, he had this reaction shot during the game where he's in disbelief at a call that didn't go his way. And people are taking that and trying to put these kind of privileged phrases with it. Like, what do you mean this isn't a paid internship? What do you mean there's not valet service for my car? So people are having a lot of fun with that. They're also having fun with this meme. A little less fun. Crying Northwestern kid. Northwestern University was down by as much as 18 points. They almost came back to beat number one seed Gonzaga, but they ended up losing. And this poor fan looks like a kid. He can't be more than 10 or 12 years old, crying in the stands going, "What?" And he's sobbing. So crying Northwestern kid also became a meme. So these two shots of disbelief and disappointment, everybody likes to revel in that, especially if it's a team that you don't like that's lost.
And I know you mentioned Julia Louis-Dreyfus being one of the big fans of Northwestern. Quick shout out for Doug Collins, former NBA coach. His son, Chris Collins, is the head coach at Northwestern.
Yeah, there's a lot of connections to the celebrity world and the sports world. We saw, I think, Draymond Green last night at the Michigan State game, but they lost to Kansas. So sorry, Draymond.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the March 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As has been the case in previous years, human rights conditions in Zimbabwe remain deeply troubling, according to the recently issued State Department country reports on human rights practices. In 2016, the government of President Robert Mugabe continued to violate human rights, disregarding the protections enumerated in the country's 2013 constitution. The most important human rights problems remain the government's targeting members of non-ZANU-PF parties and civil society activists for abduction, arrest, torture, abuse, and harassment, partisan application of the rule of law by security forces and the judiciary, and restrictions on civil liberties, including freedoms of expression and assembly. In 2016, the government intensified its repression of peaceful protesters. Police abuse increased, and security forces used excessive force to crush dissent. Human rights defenders, civil society activists, journalists, and government opponents were harassed, threatened, or faced arbitrary arrest by security forces. The government restricted freedom of the press. Although citizens have the constitutional right to choose their own government in free and fair elections, this right was restricted. Corruption at all levels of government was rampant in Zimbabwe. Despite the fact that the government took some limited steps to punish security sector officials and ZANU-PF supporters who committed violations, impunity for past politically motivated violence was a problem. The government, for example, failed to provide any updates on the 2015 disappearance of activist Etai Zamara. Rape, domestic violence, and discrimination against women remain widespread problems, despite the fact that last January, Zimbabwe's constitutional court declared child marriage to be unconstitutional and set 18 as the minimum marriage age. The government has yet to amend or repeal all existing marriage laws that still allow child marriage. On the other side of that spectrum, widows were forced from their marital homes by relatives and their property confiscated with little recourse to the formal justice system. The State Department human rights reports are not meant to point fingers or judge the actions of sovereign nations, nor are these U.S. policy documents. The reports do not draw legal conclusions. Promoting human rights and democratic governance is a core element of U.S. foreign policy, said Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. Standing up for human rights and democracy is not just a moral imperative, but it is in the best interests of the United States in making the world more stable and secure.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Tuesday on Health Chat. Join host Lenore Modu reassessing your health stress in 2017 with Ken Red Cross, internal medicine and concierge doctor. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm your host Shaka Sully. Every Wednesday night, the Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss Africa land reform. The World Bank says that Africa needs to change its systems for buying and selling land. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.